And a good Friday morning to one and all. It is Taz and the Moose with you right here on CBS Sports Radio as we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocket Mortgages is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. You got Mike and Dan across the way to the side at the controls, Bogish with your updates. As we take 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern time here on CBS Sports Radio, Sirius and XM 206, the app as well as it is the final football Friday as we are just 3 days away from Super Bowl Sunday and Super Bowl 53 between the Rams and the Patriots and all the big build-up down in Atlanta. We're holding it down in our studios in NYC. What's up, Taz? How you doing, brother?
Good, Moose. Good, bro. We got a, just as you know, a completely jam-packed show with three great guests. We got live video kicking off in 1 hour again here. And so at CBSSportsRadio.com/Taz and the Moose, so you can watch the video there. But yeah, three big guests, big loaded show. We got picks. We got a 1v1 with food again.
Yes.
A new food one, not again, same one.
No, not again.
You get my point.
Yes,
yeah, absolutely.
I do. Yes.
Got it. Okay.
And we I do pick up. I smell what you're cooking.
I see what you did there.
Yes. Thank you, Taz. Appreciate it. We got a lot of football to get into. As Taz just ran down, we're going to be joined by Roger Staubach, Cowboys legend, a little later on the program. Jamal Adams, Jets safety, will join us later on this hour. Actor Luke Wilson will join us the top of the third hour, so look forward to that conversation as well, Taz. But we get it going on this Friday with a little NBA because of the very fact of a big deal that went down, and it's crazy. The drama, the storyline surrounding the NBA earlier in the week, and a lot of the conversation last 4 days has surrounded New Orleans Pelicans star Anthony Davis. And after his trade demand, after he told New Orleans last Friday, after it was made public on Monday, after Davis and his agent Rich Paul, after he was fined $50,000 for publicly announcing that he had requested a trade, which violates the collective bargaining agreement in the NBA. But yesterday, the news comes out that Kristaps Porzingis has a meeting with the Knicks and says, don't like exactly where the direction is going. Don't see eye to eye in terms of where the organization is going. Don't think that a winning culture is being set. The Knicks are the worst team in the NBA. They're 10-40. A couple hours later, about 90 minutes later, news comes out that the Knicks have traded Kristaps Porzingis to the Dallas Mavericks. It was Porzingis, Tim Hardaway Jr., Courtney Lee, Trey Burke going to Dallas for Dennis Smith Jr., another disgruntled former first-round draft choice that no longer fits in the Dallas Mavericks theme or scheme with Luka Doncic. So you get him, DeAndre Jordan, Wesley Matthews, and two first-round draft choices going to the Knicks, and now Kristaps Porzingis is no longer a Knick. Now he's property of the Dallas Mavericks.
Listen, Moose, when this news broke, I don't know where you were, but I know for us, we just got done doing our show. We had some downtime, and I was doing stuff around my house. And then I'm looking at my phone because I had a notification from one of the things I follow on Twitter. And I'm like, what? I was a little confused. I'm like, hold on a second. it took me a second to see because this thing went down so quick. And next thing I know, I was like, wow, Porzingis, Gonski.
I'm driving. Right. Really, so I'm driving down yesterday to go do SNY, right? Yeah. Early. A show called Daily News Live at 5 o'clock, right? And I'm listening to my buddy Stabil, who does a horse racing show every day.
He's
right?
My buddy too, though.
Yeah, your buddy as well, right? Yeah, and he joins us throughout the course of the Triple Crown season. And
big
so I saw the early report, and then he comes on and in between races on his show. He basically says the Knicks, after...
You heard him say
that? Yeah, I heard him go, that was quick. He goes, Porzingis requested a trade. The Knicks have just traded him to the Dallas Mavericks. And then I went right down to Twitter.
Yeah, and it's all over.
And I see the Woj story and other Knick beat writers reported as well about what the parameters of the deal are. And honestly, I'm sitting there. It's 5 degrees outside.
Freezing.
It's freezing. I'm trying to find a parking space in Lower Manhattan. I'm like, wait a second. The Knicks just traded Kristaps Porzingis?
Unbelievable. So obviously this thing was brewing, man. Unbeknownst to everybody,
right?
Yeah, the Knicks were up to something here. Because the way it seemed to the public was like, to your point, Like, all right, well, Porzingis wants to be traded. All right, well, you know, you want to be traded? All right, see ya. Bye. You're gone. We're trading you. It was like, no, things don't happen that quick, folks.
Well, right. And so the and it's ironic that the two teams played at Madison Square Garden the night before. And you know, you had the emotion, you know, Dirk Nowitzki's final game at Madison Square Garden, the standing ovation that he was getting from the basketball faithful in the New York City at MSG. And then this deal comes down. You know, initially, I look at this trade, Taz, and a couple problems with it. Number one is I don't think you maximize the value of the player because you had to put Porzingis in that deal to have the Dallas Mavericks take on two bad contracts. Courtney Lee is a bad contract, and Tim Hardaway Jr. is a bad contract, which was signed by Steve Mills, who gave him a four-year, $72 million contract. And put on the table when he was a restricted free agent with the Atlanta Hawks. And the Hawks were offering him around $50 million. Right. The Knicks gave him $72, and the Hawks were never going to match that. And he ended up coming an original draft choice by the Knicks. He ended up coming back to New York. See, I don't mind trading Porzingis. I don't, because he's injured a lot. He doesn't play a lot. We'll get into the whole diva scenario here momentarily. The problem you have with the deal is that you make a trade in which you – a valuable commodity where you could have gotten a hell of a lot more, but what you got back was salary cap relief for an if. And an if well, and an uncertainty
right.
this
and uncertainty,
summer.
Right. They're taking a big chance here.
Right, they're taking a big risk because the whole idea now is, well, now you have money to sign two big unrestricted free agents this summer. It's a huge free agency class. Kyrie Irving, Kawhi Leonard, Klay Thompson, Kevin Durant, Kemba Walker,
Butler.
Right, Jimmy Butler. So it's a huge free agency class. So you'd say, all right, well, the Knicks have to have some idea that two of those guys are going to be coming to New York, that they have a good chance of, say, signing Durant and Kawhi and say, Kyrie Irving, that they have a chance to sign those two guys. However, it's a monumental if.
I know.
Because, Taz, that's part of this deal. Because if it's not, then the Knicks got absolutely ripped off. So you have to factor into the idea that they signed two of those guys. If they don't, the deal's a disaster.
Yeah, but don't you think there is some sort of a chance, and we're never going to know this, that the Knicks, maybe I'm being a sucker, the Knicks might know something?
Well, you'd hope. The Knicks,
they're taking a chance here.
Well, I agree with you, Taz, and I want to believe that, but it's the Knicks.
Yeah.
Right?
This is the history of them.
Right. You want to believe that that the Knicks have an idea that Durant is coming. You want to have an idea that the Knicks believe Kyrie Irving is coming. I don't think Kawhi Leonard is going to New York.
No.
Because I think he wants to play out west if he doesn't re-sign with the Toronto Raptors and go play for, say, the Los Angeles Clippers.
Bro, but, I don't think Kyrie Leonard wants to deal with the New York media. He's such a laid-back, chill guy. He don't want to deal with that.
Who, Kawhi Leonard?
You said Kyrie Irving. I'm sorry. Talking about Kawhi.
Yeah, Kawhi Leonard. Yeah, I don't think Kawhi Leonard wants New York. But Kyrie Irving might want New
York.
That's
a different story.
Yeah, right. He might want to leave Boston and sign with the Knicks. And
I thought you said Leonard. I'm
right,
sorry.
No worries. So, Taz, I look at it as a scenario as this, is that if it was Pat Riley in the Heat, if it was, say, the Lakers, if it was, say, Popovich in the San Antonio Spurs, I think there would be good reason to believe, all right, those guys are going to come. The issue you have is, can you really trust the Knicks franchise that has been a laughingstock in the NBA for years?
I know. What are you going to do?
And that's the issue you have if you're a Knicks fan this morning, is looking at that deal saying, all right, Fizdale, Mills, and Perry, are they really going to be able to recruit and get guys to come to New York after you just traded the most valuable commodity in Kristaps Porzingis, who told the Knicks brass he did not necessarily believe in the game plan that they had set forth.
Right. I don't know what the truth is. I know this much. What the Knicks are doing to their fan base is what's been happening over the years, and it's happening for sure big time with this. It's something in wrestling we call a hope spot. Okay, H-O-P-E, hope spot. What that basically means is when a guy's getting his rear end kicked and then he makes a comeback and almost pins the bad guy that's beating him up, it's called the hope spot. He gets a 1-2, 2.5, and the guy kicks out. It's a hope spot, and that's what the Knicks are doing here. It's a hope spot for their fan base. You're hoping you can get KD. You're hoping the big thing would be KD and Irving. You're hoping if it's not KD and Irving, you're hoping it's KD and Kemba. You know what I mean? So they're hope spots, unless the Knicks know something that they're not sharing. Because this thing happened probably over a couple of days, which is quick, as you know. These things take time.
And I saw a report from a Knicks writer saying that the Mavericks and Knicks have been talking for quite some time about a potential deal. And that clearly the relationship between the Knicks and Kristaps Porzingis had frayed. Then this deal does come down. Listen, and I don't fault, and here's what I do hate. I hate when organizations try to make themselves look better, try and paint a guy in a bad light on the way out.
Yeah, but that's not right. Yeah,
and that's what the Knicks can't help themselves. So they now have to try and win a deal that is banking on if you just look at the deal of a loan, the Knicks didn't make a good trade. Now, they have to paint it to where now Kristaps Porzingis was a diva. How dare he demand anything? Well, guys, it's a player's league. Well, was anybody complaining earlier in the week when Anthony Davis said, get me the hell out of New Orleans with the Pelicans? No. But he's accomplished a lot. Well, he's accomplished a lot because he's been healthier a little bit. He's scored more points, and I get he's had a better career up until this point in time. But Anthony Davis hasn't won jack down in New Orleans, right? So it's not like he's accomplished some great thing down there with the New Orleans Pelicans. But it's okay for Anthony Davis to say, get me the hell out of New Orleans. I don't trust the franchise. I want to go to a winner and a chance to win a championship. But when Kristaps Porzingis does it, well, now he's a diva.
Right.
And Taz,
it's a double standard.
Well, it's a double standard, and that's not right. So, listen, you want to trade him? You don't believe he's going to stay healthy? I understand all that argument.
Right. You don't know how he's going to come back from.
I get that, which is something you talked about, which is something we discussed. Right. I mean, he's coming off a torn ACL. He's 7'3. He plays the game. I don't know if his body can hold up. So, there are concerns about Porzingis long term.
Absolutely.
But, Taz, the NBA is all about the players, it is a players' league. And so if it's a players' league, guys are going to demand things all the time. Do people look at LeBron James? No. They look at LeBron James and say, he's the king of the world, which he is.
Right, of course.
So Porzingis, if he has any kind of leverage, is going to use it. And I don't fault Kristaps Porzingis to say, I don't trust the Knicks because there are not many Knicks fans that trust the organization
for. I completely agree with that. And the thing is, too, like with Porzingis, right, and any guy, any player, we've talked about this a lot. I really believe in this. Put aside the language and contracts and, you know, the paper, as we call it, right? Put all that aside. If someone doesn't want to be on a squad, you don't want them on that squad. Let them go. I understand. I do understand contracts. I get that. Well, you got to wait, too, sometimes. So if Porzingis didn't want to be there, and no matter what the reasons are, that's his choice. That he didn't want to be there. So we can agree on that's what the scuttlebutt is. That's the deal. And so the Knicks dealt them, and they dealt them rather quickly. I have no problem. If a guy doesn't want to be on a certain team, if I'm an owner, Moose, or I'm a GM, I don't want said guy on my team. I got to be honest with you. I don't care how good the guy is. Because if someone, I always talk about the analogy of a relationship. If you're with a girl, you know, with a woman, you're a girl, or vice versa, a guy, you know, whatever it is. You're with a significant other, and then you don't want to be in that relationship with that person anymore. Or they don't want to be in that relationship with you, well, that doesn't work.
No.
That's misery.
To everybody. Right. It does not work, but also then you could it's different in a relationship when you look at the relationship that Porzingis had with the Knicks. Do you fault him? I mean, do you fault him and say, you know, I don't know, it's been, you know, he's had, what, 4 different head coaches?
Right.
You know, he's had different game plans.
I don't fault him at all.
They don't stick to anything.
I don't fault him.
Right. Do you fault Kristaps Porzingis to say, listen, I'm tired of this circus. I want to go someplace where there's a little stability. I want to go to a place where I believe that we're on a path to winning. I don't believe we're on a path to winning here.
I don't fault him, and I agree with you, and I also don't fault the Knicks. Because if he didn't want to be there, and we don't know how he's going to come back if we're the Knicks from the injury, we don't know. You know, rumor is his rehab's going really well. That's what I heard. That's what I read. Okay, that's great, but still, you don't know. He's a young guy. Was he 23, 24 years old? Something like that, right? So, you know, you would think the healing process, but he's, like you said, he's over 7 feet tall. He's 7'3".
Yeah.
You get lower leg injuries, man. It takes time.
Well, it does.
And you don't know. That's a different type of bone structure there for guys. That's like abnormal to be 7'3".
Well,
I'll never know.
Well, yeah, it's, neither will I.
I know.
And I've always said for Porzingis, everyone says, well, he's got to add weight, Some guys, and I don't know how much weight you can really add and muscle you can add to his type of frame, Taz, because of how tall and how lean he is.
You're exactly right.
Because then it might really affect his game. I always was of the thought process going into last year before he tore his ACL that Porzingis really has to adjust his game and can no longer necessarily be the high flyer that he was and attacking the rim and attacking the basket to go along with his outside shooting because I don't think his body can hold up. So I do think when there comes a point where, well, if the style that I'm playing the game, if my body is reacting so negatively that I'm often hurt, which he was,
right,
then I've got to adjust the way that I'm playing the game. And I can still dominate and still be a great outside shooter, great low post scorer, and do all those things and be a defensive presence. But I've got to adjust my game and adapt my game. And I think Porzingis is going to have to do that. And for the Dallas Mavericks, it works. I mean, for them, now you have Doncic and you have Porzingis here moving forward, and at least for next year, because Porzingis is not going to sign the 5-year, $158 million extension. He's going to sign the restricted tender for $4.5 million, which is fine because he's going to bank on himself and hit unrestricted free agent in the summer, unrestricted free agency in the summer of 2020. Taz, for them, it works.
Yeah.
Because they take on a couple of bad salaries, which they can afford to do. They've got their star in Doncic. They've got another guy in Porzingis, when healthy, is a top 25 player in the sport. And they get rid of a guy in Dennis Smith Jr. who no longer fit their plans. So right.
But he's a good player. I think he's going to do well with the Knicks.
I think he's a good player. I agree with you. Yeah. But for the Dallas Mavericks, it's a win.
He didn't fit their scheme. Right.
It's a home run.
Right. I think you're right.
For the Knicks, I agree. I think Smith Jr. will play well.
I think he will.
And I think he resolves their point guard scenario here. But for them, it's all about, for the Knicks, it's all about the if and the uncertainty of signing two big free agents this summer.
And that's, to me, is that's the million-dollar question. Who are they going to get? Are they going to get two? Are they going to get one? And the other million-dollar question is, do the Knicks have some inside info? Did they hear something from whatever, KD's camp or Kyrie's camp or, you know, Thompson's camp that, you know, he might want now play in New York, play at the Garden, play for the Knicks? I mean, if you're the Knicks, you get two of these big time stars.
Then it's a home run.
It's a home run. I know you're a Knicks fan.
Then it's a
home run. So if you get KD and you get Irving, dude, I got to be honest. If you get KD and let's say Kemba Walker, it's still a home run.
Well, as long as you get Durant,
that's the home run.
That's right. The home run.
Yeah,
Durant home run. And it does not matter. As long as you get Durant, it's a home run for the Knicks. The Knicks could conceivably, if they end up with the number one overall pick, could have Durant, Zion Williamson, and Kyrie Irving to go along with Kevin Knox and Dennis Smith Jr., then all of a sudden, you go from worst team in the NBA to a top four team in the East.
A major contender.
To a major contender. There's no question about it, and it falls on Fizdale.
Right.
Well, it does fall on Fizdale because we have to learn just how good of a head coach he is, but Fizdale was brought here because there was the thought that guys want to play for David Fizdale. There's a relationship with LeBron James that stars in the NBA respect Fizdale and want to play for Fizdale. The question is, Taz, can he recruit and get the guys here?
And that's the thing. And that we're going to find out this summer. And it's going to be, as usual, the NBA is the gift that keeps on giving. Me personally, I think Kevin Durant is going to go to the Knicks.
So do I.
Because you know why? Kevin Durant, I don't know this man from home wall, but just covering him and watching him for all the time, this guy wants to be a savior. And there's no better team to go to than be a savior than the New York Knicks.
Well, yeah, and I
in the number one market too, you know.
Right. We laid it out a couple weeks back, and a number of weeks back now, after all the drama in Golden State and the relationship fraying with Durant and the Warriors. And if you believe, and now Kevin Durant has sent mixed messages. Right. 2 weeks ago, he wants to get the most amount of money. The Knicks can't offer him the most amount of money. So, maybe he does change his mind, but the motivation for you that you just laid out is dead on correct. Number one, if he ever goes to New York, he'd be the first true big superstar to go to the Knicks in free agency.
Yeah.
If he ever won in New York, he'd answer all the critics for the rest of his career. Number three, there's a perception, and rightfully so, that he's Mr. Thin Skin. If he should ever go to New York, win in New York, bring a title to Madison Square Garden, do something else that no other superstar has done. The Knicks have not won an NBA championship since the early 70s. Now, all of a sudden, Durant has done something different than no other superstar in the NBA has done. And people can't criticize him from going from Oklahoma City to Golden State, because then he's leaving Golden State to going to the worst team in the NBA. And should he win there?
The worst team in the NBA with the most pressured market.
And if he should win there, Taz,
he's proven he's the real deal. And he is the real deal. And you know as well as me, with the New York fan base, the Knicks fan base, if he goes there, Kevin Durant, and he is legit, and he brings them to that level they want to be at, as thin skin as he is, his thin skin will become thick skin, because that fan base will embrace him and protect him and love him. If he's winning, that Knicks fan base will love him, and he'll be a monster star, Madison Square Garden.
God, he'll be
worldwide. Dude, I'm talking.
You'll step out of the studios here, and the people will be walking around Durant-ers.
No lie, dude.
You know this, though. The Knicks will end up with Kemba Walker and Tobias Harris.
Yeah, that's probably what's going to happen, actually.
This is the plan. Right, Clay will stay in Golden State. You know, Jimmy Butler will be complaining about it. Life in someplace else. Kyrie will go back to Los Angeles to play. We'll go to Los Angeles
Kyrie's
to play.
Kyrie's playing with the Knicks tonight, right? Aren't they playing tonight, right? The Celtics are playing tonight, aren't they?
Yeah, the Knicks have a huge plan, and let's see how it plays out.
Yeah, yeah.
But if it works out great, then this is a home run.
I know.
But it's an if. And you won't be able to properly judge this deal until July.
And the interesting thing is, Kyrie Irving, I mean, the Celtics play tonight.
Yeah.
At the Garden.
Yeah.
So, Kyrie might
be. Oh, there are going to be chants.
Kyrie, whatever the Kyrie chant is.
Yeah, come on home.
Come on home. He's from what, Jersey?
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Some people think that's New York. It's really not.
Well, it's the tri-state area, Taz. I know it's not New York.
Don't let me get to my
what do you call
combo.
Them, the New Jersey Giants and the New Jersey Jets?
I don't know. I'm looking at Mike. I think we need to go to break. He's getting
nervous. We're going to go to break right now.
You know how he gets.
Oh, it's you starting to rip New Jersey.
Oh, yeah. Why? I love ripping New Jersey. That could go on. That's a full segment.
No. I'll get to my whole Jet 215-212-4227. Want to hear from you. What's your take on the Porzingis deal? How about Porzingis and Luka pairing up down in Dallas for Mark Cuban and the Dallas Mavericks moving forward for at least the next year? And how about the Knicks' big game plan of putting all the chips in the middle of the table for two big-time free agents this summer? Does it work? It's amazing how the NBA drama just continues to dominate the headlines, even with it being Super Bowl week. Want to hear from you. 855-212-4227. Taz Moose, Friday morning, CBS Sports Radio.
You can hear CBS Sports Radio on satellite radio. Check us out on our new channel, SiriusXM 206. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Super Bowl week, and we're starting your morning with lots of talk about pro football's biggest game with Taz and the Moose.
All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com. 15 minutes. Save 15% or more on car insurance.
Yes, we're talking about the whole gigantic, massive Knicks-Dallas trade. Porzingis Jones gone. He's going to be in Dallas now. Let's go out to Jersey and talk to John, our man John. Listen on radio.com. John, what's up? You're on with Taz and the Moose.
Hey, Taz. What's up, brother?
How are you?
Johnny, what's cooking, brother?
What's up, bro?
Guys, I love this trade. I mean, I can't believe that so many people are questioning this trade. As a Knicks fan, I love it. From the second I heard it, I love it. And the more I hear about it, the more I love it.
Well, are you just really hopeful that this thing is going to work out where you get Kevin Durant?
Look, I mean, people could call it uncertainty. I call it opportunity. As a Knicks fan today, I got a hell of a lot more kick in my step than I had yesterday. And I can't look at the trade and say, well, if we don't screw it up in July. I got to be confident that we're not going to screw it up in July.
Yeah, but look at the history of the team. Look at the history of the club. The team, you know what I mean? That's really worry, bro.
Earlier in the week, the rumored trade with the Knicks was they were going to send Porzingis and our number one for Anthony Davis,
right.
And people were drooling over it. Oh, make that trade. Okay, I make that trade. Okay, I have Anthony Davis. I don't have my number one. I don't have a point guard. And I have no cap space to bring anybody else in. So how do people love that trade where now I got my point guard, I got my number one, and I got cap space to bring two players in?
Right, but the problem you have is Davis is an established star in the league. And is,
he's never won a damn thing.
I know he's never won a damn thing, but he's a top five player in the sport. You are now, it is the opportunity, but the opportunity also, you need guys to want to come and play in New York.
Yes, and we are going to get Kevin Durant. I am a confident Knicks fan. Like Taz said, Kevin Durant is coming. And whoever he brings as his Robin, they're coming too. and I got my point guard, and I got my number one pick.
But if you don't,
and I got
hold on a second, that's fine. But if
I'm
Durant,
be a Knick fan here.
But if Durant doesn't come, it's a disaster.
Okay, and if the Pats don't win Sunday, I'll be upset.
No, 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 but the Patriots are in the game. The Knicks have had these plans in the past, and they don't end up with their guys.
Yeah, but you got a good chance of getting Kevin Durant because
yeah,
he's this scuttlebutt.
But now we are in the game.
Right, you're in the game, and there's scuttlebutt that KD wants to come, and Kyrie Irving could come too because he's from Jersey, and I'm sure he would love to play with KD.
But
these guys would tear it up.
The last time Durant had hit free agency,
this is your team, Moose.
I get it's my team. But I'm just playing devil's advocate here because it's hard to buy in hook, line, and sinker to a franchise that has been a disaster and an embarrassment for the last 20 years. And it's been a laughing stock in the NBA. Then now all of a sudden they're going to get it right. So the Knicks have had entered summers where they wanted to chat with LaMarcus Aldridge, wouldn't even take a meeting with him, right? Kevin Durant wouldn't even take a meeting with him. Now all of a sudden Durant
is coming.
Yeah, we
appreciate it, buddy.
Right? And I believe it. I've said it for a while. I believe Kevin Durant is coming. So I don't disagree with that aspect of it, that there's the opportunity to sign him. But if he doesn't come, if you don't get the two big free agents this summer, the deal ends up being a nightmare.
I think
that's the problem you have. Then you're with Dennis Smith Jr. and whoever the pick is and Kevin Knox as being your building block pieces. But you know the Knicks. They'll compound the problem by spending the money unwisely, as they've done in the past. Yeah. If they don't get their big guys, and they'll bring in the secondary or third-level player and give them big money, and that's the problem.
I think it's going to work out.
It's going to be the same cyclical issue that we've had with this Knicks team for a while.
I think it's going to work out for you with the Knicks. I do.
I hope so.
I'm optimistic
for you, and I'm not
even a Knicks fan.
I mean...
It's going to work out.
If it ends up with Durant, Irving...
Let's not get crazy. Not all of them. You're probably going to get Kevin Durant.
Well,
I don't
Durant,
know if you're
Durant, Irving... I mean, if you ever could get Durant and Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah.
Durant, Kawhi Leonard.
What are you, this fantasy book in here?
You're
the new Golden State Warriors. You're going to win everything.
Oh, my God.
He's not going to lose.
That would be amazing.
Yeah.
But Kawhi's not coming.
No, Kawhi Leonard wants nothing near a metropolis like New York City.
Right. I put my head to the pillow hoping that Draymond Green is still a pain in the rear end in Golden State and that he and Durant hate each other and that Durant can't wait to get out.
Imagine you get Kevin Durant and Thompson and not Kyrie.
Oh, that would be great.
Mm-mm-mm.
Oh, my God. Yeah. That would be. I mean, you can only dream. Yeah. But this is.
A boy can dream.
But this is why the Knicks are. They're selling hope.
Yeah.
Bogus is
hope
in the
spot.
House.
I told you
first
that earlier.
This morning. What's up, Andrew?
Boys, good morning.
Hello.
So, LeBron James lied to us. He was not supposed to return from his groin injury last night, but there he was at Staples against the Clippers.
Here's LeBron dribbling top of the key. LeBron moving right. LeBron spins in the paint. 8-foot fall away, good. 120 to 118, Lakers by 2.
John Ireland, Lakers Radio LA, beat LA 123-120 in overtime. 24 points, 14 rebounds, 9 assists for LeBron after missing 17 games.
Rusty.
The Sixers snapped the Warriors' 11-game win streak, 113-104 in Oakland. Joel Embiid, 26 points and 20 boards. The Spurs rallied past the Nets, 117-114. The Bucks beat the Raptors in Toronto, 105-92. An All-Star reserves reveal last night. Nikola Jokic and Ben Simmons among four first-time selections. Milwaukee's Mike Budenholzer will coach Team Giannis because his Bucks have clinched the best record in the East as of Sunday. But none of that matters because the Knicks have done it again. First, the apparently contentious meeting between Kristaps Porzingis and the front office. Then that front office trading Porzingis to Dallas, along with Tim Hardaway Jr., Courtney Lee, and Trey Burke. The Mavs give up Dennis Smith Jr., DeAndre Jordan, Wes Matthews, and two future first-rounders. College hoops, fourth-ranked Gonzaga destroyed BYU 93-63. Number 13, Houston, down Temple 73-66. The Dallas Cowboys apparently going to make Jason Garrett earn a new contract. 2019, the final season of Garrett's current deal, and Jerry Jones not expected to give him an extension. And the Colorado Rockies and third baseman Nolan Arenado settling on a $26 million salary for the coming season. That's a record for an arbitration-eligible player. Guys?
All right. Thank you, Andrew. Appreciate that. We've got a big show coming your way. Roger Staubach is going to join us a little bit later on in the program. Actor Luke Wilson, who I'm looking forward to chatting with. Yourself, Taz?
Yeah. I'm, you know...
1v1?
I'm just.
What?
Well, no, actors. Like acting. You know, actors, it's Super Bowl week. We're talking about the NBA. We're talking actors. What the hell's going on here?
We'll have some fun.
We'll talk little to football players. Like Staubach and Jamal Adams.
Have a good time. Fun. We're not down in Atlanta. We're enjoying ourselves here.
Oh, no. But we are not in Atlanta, but we are gaining traction in NYC, buddy.
Oh, there's no doubt.
Come on. Yeah. What we got?
Speaking of which, go to CBSSportsRadio.com/Taz and the Moose because we're going up live on video coming your way at 7 a.m. this morning. So 25 minutes from now, we'll be live on stream. CBSSportsRadio.com/Taz and the Moose. You can see the video stream right there. And we'll get into football. We're going to do that next. You know what we're going to be joined by?
Who?
Jet safety Jamal Adams.
Oh, this guy will
light you up.
We'll
get into Pat the Patriot.
Yes, I got to ask.
Get his thoughts on Super Bowl 53 as well. We'll do that next. It's Taz and Moose with you on a Football Friday right here, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. Wake up with Taz and the Moose as they get your morning started talking about Sunday's big game in Atlanta here on CBS Sports Radio.
We got picks coming up, 1v1 coming up. Roger Staubach will join us a little later on the program. It's a big Super Bowl 53 Football Friday. Taz and the Moose with you. Who better get it going guest-wise as we head down to Atlanta? And let's welcome aboard right now Jet safety Jamal Adams. Hey, Jamal, Taz of the Moose with you. Thanks for a couple minutes this morning. We certainly appreciate it.
What's up, fellas?
First off, interesting, let's talk about, the transition here for you, with the Jets. I'm curious, obviously Bowles was well-respected by your team in New York. You spoke glowingly of your former head coach. He's now the defensive coordinator down in Tampa Bay.
Right.
Jamal, has he had a little bit of time here to reflect on the things that went wrong? What went wrong during Bowles' stewardship as head coach?
Well, I just honestly feel like, everybody wasn't on the same page. When you have an organization or a company, everybody just has to be on the same page. We got to pull in the same direction on the rope. And, at times everybody was pulling different ways, and everybody was guilty in the building. And, as long as we can figure that out and stay on the right course and stay together as a team, as a building, as an organization, I think we'll be fine.
Oh, so, Jamal, obviously you guys have a new head coach in there, and Coach Gay is coming in there. So, I would assume you guys are probably all embracing this right now and expecting big things from Coach Gay. Obviously, you guys are going to be in a little bit of a growing stage,
right.
But he's got a lot of history, as being a coach and being, knowing what he's doing. What's the vibe amongst you guys as players about Coach Gay coming in?
Well, we're all excited, man. I can say that. A new start, new energy, and a new coaching staff. So, of course, everybody's going to be, excited for it. Everybody just has to build those relationships and take it from there.
What about the eyes, bro? Come on, the press conference. I'm sure, it's got to be, I'm sure Coach is laughing about it. It's got to be something going on with the eyes.
I haven't spoke with him about that,
right,
man.
Right.
It's definitely going to be something I'm going to ask him about. But, I don't really know.
I know. I'm just busting chops.
No, it's all good, man.
I'm just teasing.
But I also want to tell you one thing, man. I'm here with Pepsi, and I have a friend, and his name is Snack Beezy.
All right.
Snack Beezy is a walking vending machine, man. Get this out. Get this. It can bring you its own drinks and snacks.
I love it.
At the same time.
That's legit.
I had to let you fellas know, man. It's coming out soon.
We need to get one in the
station. It's like a new album or
something. We need one.
Are you going to have one at your house, Jamal?
I plan to have one at my house. That's the next step. That's the next phase. But as soon as I get it, man, you guys are welcome to come over.
Oh,
my man.
We're taking you up on that offer,
my
Jamal.
Man.
Let's do it, man.
Our producer will be texting you.
Let's do it, man. We'll have a great time.
Yeah, awesome. I'm sure. Jamal, Taz asked you about Gaze. I imagine you got to be excited playing for a defensive coordinator like Greg Williams because wherever he has been, he plays an attacking style of football,
right,
which I think would suit you as a player at the safety spot.
100%, man. I'm not being biased, due to the fact that he's our new DC. But, man, I think he's one of the best, if not the best, in the business. So I've heard nothing but positive things. He's a guy that's going to hold everybody accountable. He's a guy that's, you know, that's aggressive, like you said, and you know, he's gonna use me the right way. Not saying that, you know, Coach Bowles didn't use me the right way.
Right.
I think they did a phenomenal job. But I just think, you know, Coach Greg can do so much more with me. And, you know, I'm excited, man. I know, you know, practice and the game is definitely going to be intense with him. And, you know, we need something like that in that building.
You know, Jamal, a lot of people have thrown accolades at the feet of your quarterback, Sam Darnold, after his rookie campaign.
Right.
You know, take us inside that room, because not only is he the leader of the offense, he's also the leader of the team. What impressed you about Darnold year one?
His poise, man. I think he, you know, he attacked the moment. Obviously, you know, he had ups and downs, as every rookie does, as every player does. And, you know, he learned so much, man. He's a football junkie. Not only is he a great player, you know, on the field, he's a great person off the field. And you can't ask for, you know, much more from a quarterback, man, that comes in year one. And, you know, we just got to work on his swagger, man. I got to get his swagger get his swagger right, man. I don't like the way he comes into the game as far as his clothing. You know, he just has so much money, man. He could definitely, you know, get a nice tailored suit.
Well, nobody dresses like you, Jamal.
Yeah, no.
I mean, no. Listen. You know, that's a different level, man.
Swag city. Swag city.
That's a different level. But no, man, I'm so excited.
You
got to
have him open up your turtleneck drawer, Jamal.
Yeah, man. Something like that, man. Yeah, I got to get him hip. But no, I'm excited, man. You know, he has a bright future. The sky's the limit for Sam. And, you know, I'm definitely pulling for him. We'll always be in his corner. And, I'm excited for the future, man.
So you said you got your homie over there, your homeboy, that's the vending machine. But we know you get along with vending machines, but you do not get along with mascots. And what you did to the Patriot mascot was legit, bro, because I hate the Patriots. And you beat his ass. Talk about this. What happened?
Honestly, man, I don't...
You lit him up.
You know, yeah, I definitely did. It definitely could have been, you know, a lot worse. I honestly just jumped on him.
That wasn't, you know, fixed, dude. That wasn't set up. Come on.
It was, man. It was.
That's what I said. I said that earlier in the week. I said it was set up.
Hey, man, I wake up to every day now. I wake up to, you know, 8-year-old kids, 9-year-old kids giving me, you know, hate mail.
In horror.
In Instagram. Yeah, just saying, oh, you know, I hope you break your knees, you know, die one day. Just
nice
hit
kids.
The mascot. And I'm
nice
like,
kids.
Come on, man. Yeah.
Twitter's said, a fun place, Jamal.
If your parents seen what you were saying, man, I don't know if they'll be too happy. But, no, it's all good, man. At the end of the day, you know, it wasn't anything to, you know,
it was a fun
mascot.
Thing. It was fun.
Man.
It was cool. Yeah, it was fun.
Well, Jamal, give me – so whose idea was it then?
I mean, it was definitely mine.
It was – so give us a feel of how you presented this to Pat the Patriot.
We saw him pin you. Like, was that – he pinned you earlier?
Yeah.
When was that?
No. So I told everybody before I decided to do it, I said, hey – I'm thinking about hitting, you know, the Patriots mascot, because he was going, you know, around the fans, where all the fans were sitting at the skills challenge. He was just basically getting booed, and he was just kind of taunting them. So I said, you know what, let me go take this in my hands.
Take him out.
But, you know, it was definitely fun. You know, I tackled him, and then he got up, and then, you know, he chased me down, and he tackled me. And, you know, I talked to him while he tackled me, and I made sure, you know, he was okay. He was like, man, you got me good. And, you know, I made sure that everything was cool. But he helped me up, and people didn't catch that on video
until
you know, somebody put it out. But that was one of the main things that, you know, people should see, man. You know, at the end of the day, I'm all for the people and the kids, and, you know, it put on a little –
it was fun, man.
Show.
It was fun.
You know,
it was good.
Smile for the kids, and, you know, going crazy. They needed some excitement out there, man. You know, sitting out there, you know, for 3.5
They're
hours
bored.
Just watching.
Yeah,
it gets boring, man.
Watching guys do karaoke.
Yeah, man. They wanted something
shuffle.
Different, man. So, you know, that's what they deserve, and that's what, you know, the Pro Bowl is all about.
Well, and Pat the Patriot did know it was coming. So he did know the hit was coming, right?
Yeah, and he deserved it.
He deserved it.
Yeah, apparently, you know, from what I hear, he didn't know the hit was coming. But, you know, I made sure it was not – the first thing I made sure was it was not a young lady, because I you know, I definitely
oh
didn't
God.
Want that to
I
happen.
Think of no. that. I didn't think of that part.
Yeah, wow. So that was that was my first question. Make sure it's a young man, it's a guy.
Yeah.
And, you know, we made sure. So my guy went over there and made sure that, hey, by the end of the day, maybe you might get tackled. But, you know, at the end of the day, man, you know, it wasn't out to, you know.
No, you're not out there.
Just having fun, man.
All right. Just having fun.
We're talking to Jet star safety Jamal Adams. Jamal, you know, we're a couple days out here from Super Bowl 53. You know, you're very familiar with New England, obviously, playing with the Jets. Yeah. What are you looking at in this game? What do you think ends up deciding who ends up being Super Bowl champs?
If they can slow down Gronk, man. Gronk has, you know, he has gained confidence. I think he's gained it back. I think, you know, he wasn't really getting the ball as much throughout the season, and I don't think his confidence was there. Not to take away from him as a player. He's a phenomenal player, the best tight end, if not – you know, one of the best in the league.
Right.
And, you know, I just think his confidence was kind of down. But I think, you know, this past game, him matching up with, you know, EB, Eric Berry, and, you know, going against him and making some plays, I think it gained him, you know, his confidence back. And if they can slow him down, I think L.A. has a great chance. But if not, man, Tom Brady and the bunch will definitely get it again.
So I thought you were going to say Edelman, because I feel like I watch.
Phenomenal, man.
This guy gets open. Like, how does he get open, Jamal? Time.
He does the little things the right way, man. He's an old school player. He's gonna get grimy. You know, he's gonna talk a little noise.
Right.
People, you know, try to classify him as dirty, but you know, I think he's a hell of a football player. He's far from dirty. And you know, he's a guy that's gonna go out there and give it his all, man.
Right,
but
right, he does.
They have a lot of talent that people don't know about. You know, due to, you know, having big name receivers, they don't really, you know, have the names in a way. But they have phenomenal talent. They have a complete offense.
O-line's legit. O-line is legit.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, legit. Tom Brady. You know, he rarely gets touched, and that's another thing LA has to, you know, do. It's gonna be a great matchup, man. Don't get me wrong. You know, one of the best D lines, if not the best, going against a great offensive line. And whoever, you know, if they can get some pressure on Brady, I think it's gonna help him out tremendously.
Jamal, we'll close it out. You're working with PepsiCo. Tell us a little bit once again. You, the snack bot, right? So if you're looking for, Doritos, Beezy, Flamin' Hot Nacho Tortilla Chips, or some Pepsi, you want the snack bot, right?
You definitely want it, man. It's gonna do everything you need it to do. If you tell it to go use the restroom, it's going to use the restroom. If you tell it to go make your bed, it's going to make your bed. If you tell it to bring you some Pepsi, it's going to bring you some Pepsi.
Nice.
If you tell you bring some Doritos, it's going to do it, man. It's going to do everything. So
you
definitely got to get a snack bot, man. Snack Beezy.
Snack Beezy.
Coming soon.
Hey, Jamal, we appreciate the time. You're a great player to watch, man. Good luck year three with the Jets as they transition with the new coach. And have fun down in Atlanta. We appreciate the time this morning.
Thanks, Jamal, man.
I appreciate you, fellas, man.
There you go. That's Jamal Adams down there in Atlanta, Taz. And certainly.
Snack Beezy.
Yes. And the snack bot there for Pepsi. Who doesn't enjoy snacks on NFL game days? And we're going to get full into a Super Bowl 53 breakdown coming your way at the top of the 7 o'clock hour. And video will join us then at cbssportsradio.com/Taz and the Moose. Check it out. But, what he hit upon is great. I think even though, you know, there's still the thought that the Saints should be there, the Rams are, you know, not a bad football team. And we chatted about it going into Championship Sunday, that he had the four best teams left around in the National Football League, and it set up for what was an amazing Championship Sunday.
Yeah.
One filled with controversy, but an amazing Championship Sunday. And I do think we're setting up for a really good football game Sunday night down in Atlanta.
It's just the matchup's there, dude. You're right. I mean, the matchup is there, and we've talked about it all week. It's on that line of scrimmage. But, yeah, I do think that we're in for something really special. I mean, I don't think you're getting a blowout either way.
No,
I think you're going to get a really, really strong football game with arguably the two best teams, to your point, left standing.
I'd be really surprised if it's a margin game. I really would be in the fourth quarter if one team is dominating the other, because I think both teams have some weaknesses that the other team could take advantage of. We'll get more into it. We're going to do that next. It's a Football Friday's Super Bowl 53 breakdown. Rams-Pats comes your way next. And we hit the video stream as well. cbssportsradio.com/Taz and the Moose. Check it out there as we roll along. Taz, Moose, you know where you're at. CBS Sports Radio.